Now, once again, we'd like to thank each one tonight for coming, and do trust there will be a blessing for all who are present with us. Our reading tonight is in the Epistle to the Ephesians, in chapter 4. The Epistle to the Ephesians, in chapter 4. Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 4. I'm reading verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. The Lord has promised to bless to us tonight the reading from His good word. For the sake of those that were not with us on Tuesday night, we considered the fullness of the Spirit. We noticed from John chapter 3, He whom God has sent speaketh the word of God, for He giveth not the Spirit by measure. And we spoke about the fullness of the Spirit. We noticed fullness linked with God, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. We notice fullness linked with Christ. In Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him. And then we notice fullness linked with the Spirit. We spoke about unlimited knowledge. We spoke about unlimited wealth. We spoke about unlimited power, and we spoke about unlimited provision within the grasp of every Christian. So we spoke on the fullness of the Spirit. Last night we spoke about the filling of the Spirit, and we noticed that the filling of the Spirit could be seen self-worked, it could be seen God-worked, it manifests itself saintward, and it's also seen in relation to the Christian whole. We didn't touch it last night, we'll just mention it tonight. Why do you find drunkenness and the filling of the Spirit linked together in the Bible? Listen to the verse. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. Why do you get drunkenness and the filling of the Spirit time and again linked together in the Bible? You remember Hannah? A woman that was gracious. A woman, no doubt, that was spiritual. A woman that was godly. Remember Eli? Judged her to be drunk. And remember the words of Hannah, I am not drunk, my Lord. A woman that knew something of the power and the presence of the Spirit of God, and yet she was taken for being drunk. You remember Acts chapter 2? These men are not drunk as ye suppose. They were men that were filled with the Holy Spirit. What marks a drunk man? He thinks differently. He talks differently. He acts differently. And he walks differently from the natural man. An individual that is marked by the Spirit of God, filled with the Spirit of God, remember, he thinks differently, and he talks differently, and he walks differently, and he acts differently from the natural man. Now tonight, the subject before us is, grieve not the Holy Spirit. If I read my Bible correctly, I discover this. You know, God can be grieved. You remember the Lord God made man in his own image after his likeness? And we read a verse like this. It repented the Lord that he made man. It grieved him at his heart. You remember what you read about Israel? They provoked him in the wilderness, and they grieved him in the desert. So remember, God can be grieved. When I read the Gospels, I discover this. I discover Christ can be grieved. Remember, he was grieved at the hardness of their heart. In other words, those scribes and those Pharisees, they had a heart of stone, the hardness of their heart, and it says that Christ was grieved. And we come tonight to our verse. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. So remember, God can be grieved. Remember, Christ can be grieved. And remember, the Spirit of God can be grieved. If I go through the Ephesian epistle, I notice it's different from the Colossian epistle. When you read the Colossian epistle, you only read once about the Spirit of God in the Colossian epistle. Your love in the Spirit. And that's the only mention of the Spirit of God in the Colossian epistle. But what I'm going to do tonight very quickly, I'm going to go through the 6 chapters of the Ephesian epistle, and we're going to notice the Spirit of God in every chapter. For example, chapter 1. It's the sealing of the Spirit. Unbelieving, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit. So remember, in chapter 1, it's the sealing of the Spirit. When we come to chapter 2, it's the sanctuary of the Spirit. Ye also are builded to God for a habitation of God through the Spirit. It's the sanctuary of the Spirit, chapter 2. It's the strength of the Spirit in chapter 3. We've to be strengthened with all might through the Spirit in the inner man. It's the strength of the Spirit, chapter 3. It's the singularity of the Spirit in chapter 4. There is one Spirit. There is one Lord. There is one God and Father in all, over all, and through all. It's the singularity of the Spirit, chapter 4. We saw last night, before I sing in the Colossian epistle, I'm filled with the Word. Before I sing in the Ephesian epistle, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. It's singing in the Spirit, chapter 5. And then when you come to chapter 6, you read about the sword of the Spirit. You read about prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So chapter 1, sealing of the Spirit. Chapter 2, sanctuary of the Spirit. Chapter 3, strength of the Spirit. Chapter 4, singularity of the Spirit. Chapter 5, singing in the Spirit. And chapter 6, the sword of the Spirit and prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now, when I come to the Gospels, I read about the function of the Spirit of God. I read about his work in relation to Christ. I read about his work in relation to you and I. And then I read about his work in relation to the world. Now what's his work in relation to Christ? He shall glorify me. Ever notice in your Bible, here's something to think about. You read about the God of glory, and you read about the glory of God. You read about the Lord of glory, and you read about the glory of the Lord. You read about the Spirit of glory, but you never read about the glory of the Spirit. Why is that? He shall glorify me. And it's his work in relation to Christ. What's his work in relation to you and I? He's going to take of the things that are Christ, and he's going to reveal them unto us. That's the Gospels. He's going to guide us into all the truth. That's the epistles. And he's going to tell us things that are to come. That is the book of the Revelation. So there's his work in relation to Christ. There's his work in relation to you and I. And then his work in relation to the world. Keep in mind in John's Gospel three things. John chapter 3. God is the great lover of the world. John chapter 4, Christ is the Saviour of the world. John chapter 16, the Spirit of God is the great convictor of the world. When you read John's Gospel, it's the Godhead in relation to the world. When you read Luke's Gospel, it's the Godhead in relation to the individual. Remember Luke 15? It's the shepherd that seeks the sheep. A picture of Christ. It's the woman that seeks the lost piece of silver. A picture of the Spirit. It's the father that seeks the son. A picture of God. So when you read John's Gospel, it's the Godhead in relation to the world. When you read Luke's Gospel, it's the Godhead in relation to the individual. So there we have the functions of the Holy Spirit in relation to Christ, in relation to you and I, and in relation to this world. And what I want to emphasize tonight, first of all, is this. The importance of the Spirit of God. You mark my words. No matter what we do, if it's going to be acceptable to God, it must be done in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, and I'll prove that tonight from the Bible. What about worship? Listen to what Paul says to the Philippians. We are the circumcision. We worship God through the Spirit. We rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we have no confidence in the flesh. God is the source of our worship. Christ is the subject of our worship. The Spirit is the strength of our worship. And remember, the sanctuary is the sphere of our worship. And if our worship is going to be acceptable, it must be by the presence and the power of the Spirit of God. What about witness? You remember Acts chapter 2, is it? Tarry at Jerusalem till ye be endued with power from on high. And then will be witnesses both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Witness linked with the Spirit. What about our walk? Listen to the Galatian epistle. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What about our preaching? Our gospel came not in word only, but in power, in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance. What about our teaching? Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Spirit of God. So you got the picture. Whether it be worship, whether it be witness, whether it be walk. I'll give you another one before I give you those two. What about prayer? Building up your own selves, praying in the Holy Spirit. So whether it be preaching, or whether it be prayer, or whether it be prophesying, teaching, remember it must be in the power and the presence of the Spirit of God. Now one question. What marks the Holy Spirit? What do you and I enjoy tonight because of the Holy Spirit? Let me give you a few things tonight very quickly. There is comfort linked with the Spirit. Oh yes, there's comfort linked with God. Keep this in mind. God is the source of all comfort. Listen to what the Bible says. He's the God of all comfort. He's the Father of mercy. So remember, God is the source of all comfort. But if I read my Bible correctly, I discover this. There's comfort linked with Christ. Philippians chapter 2 says this. Since there is comfort in Christ. What's the Holy Spirit? I will give you another comforter. There's comfort linked with the Spirit. You know there's comfort linked with the Word of God. The things that were written aforetime, they were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. You go through the Thessalonian epistle, the First Thessalonians, and you'll discover this. Servants, comforted saints. And then saints, comforted servants. And then saints, comforted saints. They had to comfort one another with these words. So remember, linked with the Spirit tonight, there is comfort. Linked with the Spirit tonight, there is knowledge. I think I touched it one night, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. No man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of the man that is in it. For example, I don't know your thoughts tonight because I don't possess your spirit. But I can know the thoughts of God because I possess the Spirit of God. Remember? The Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God, and there's knowledge linked with the Spirit. Do you know there's knowledge linked with God? God knows everything you think. And God hears everything you say. And God knows everything you do. And God knows every place where you go. There is knowledge linked with God. Listen to what the Bible says. God is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. There is knowledge linked with God. But then secondly, there's knowledge linked with Christ. You go through John's Gospel and you notice two things. You notice the ignorance of men. Listen to John's Gospel. He was in the world. The world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. Remember, Mary supposed Him to be the gardener. Remember, the two on the road to Emmaus supposed Him to be a stranger. Remember, the 11 supposed Him to be a spirit. And throughout John's Gospel, there is the ignorance of men. How does John's Gospel begin? He knew all men. How does John's Gospel end? Lord, Thou knowest all things, Thou knowest that I love Thee. I want to emphasize tonight, dear child of God, remember, there is knowledge linked with God. There is knowledge linked with Christ. And there is knowledge linked with the Spirit of God. But then, thirdly, there's power linked with the Spirit. Tarry at Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And I emphasize tonight, there is power in the Spirit of God. You know, there is fruit linked with the Spirit of God. The fruit of the Spirit is love, and so on. But let me stop for one moment. If you and I grieve the Spirit of God, we won't know His comfort. And we won't know His power. And we won't know His knowledge. And we won't know fruit in our life if you and I grieve the Spirit of God. And I present this verse to us this evening. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now what lies heavy mainly upon my heart tonight is this. How can you and I as believers grieve, dampen the Spirit of God? I've chosen a few things tonight very quickly. I can grieve the Spirit by my walk. That's the first thing tonight that we're going to consider. We can grieve the Spirit by our walk. The second thing we're going to consider tonight is this. I can grieve the Spirit by my talk. The first thing we're going to consider tonight is this. You and I can grieve the Spirit by a wrong attitude one towards another. And the fourth reason tonight we're going to consider, you and I can grieve the Spirit by giving place unto the devil. In this chapter we read those words, give not place to the devil. And if you and I give place to the devil, remember, you and I grieve the Spirit of God. Now let's think of those four things tonight very quickly. I can grieve the Spirit by my walk. You remember the church at Corinth? Listen to what it says about them. Walking as men. And the Corinthians church grieved the Spirit of God in their walk because walking as men. What does that mean? There was no difference between the saved and the unsaved. They were walking as men. And if you and I walk like the unsaved, remember, you and I grieve the Spirit of God. You remember what you read in the Thessalonian epistle? I hear of some that walk disorderly. And if you and I, like the Thessalonians, walk disorderly, remember we grieve the Spirit of God. You remember Peter? Listen to what it says about Peter. It says that Peter followed afar off. I was in a house tonight where there were three fireplaces. And it brought my mind to Peter. Peter was at three fires. He's at a fire in Luke 22. He's at a fire in John 21. And I read about cloven tongues of fire in Acts chapter 2. Peter's at three fires. What does he do at the first fire? He denies Christ. What does he do at the second fire? He dines with Christ. What does he do at the third fire? He declares Christ. But my point tonight, dear child of God, is this. Remember, Peter followed afar off, and if you and I walk at a distance, if you and I are walking in darkness, if you and I walk disorderly, remember, you and I grieve the Spirit of God, as says the Apostle. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. But we can grieve the Spirit by our walk. Secondly, we can grieve the Spirit by our talk. You know, our talk can be vain. And our talk could be vulgar. And our talk could be vicious. I was going through the Bible today and I was noticing two things. There's a turning that's of God. There's a turning that's not of God. What's the turning that's of God? You turn tonight to Psalm 80. And three times in that psalm I read a verse something like this. Turn us again, O God. Cause thy face to shine upon us, and we shall be saved. There's a turning that's of God. You remember 1 Thessalonians chapter 1? They turn to God from idols to serve the living and the true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, a turning that is of God. But you read 1 Timothy. And you read 2 Timothy and you read verses like this. Some turned aside after Satan. You read about those that turned their ears away from the truth and turned aside after fables. But the verse I'm after, you read in 1 Timothy 1, listen tonight to it. Some have turned aside to vain talking. And you mark my words this evening. There is much vain talking often amongst us as the people of God. What do we sometimes sing? If half the breath so vainly spent to heaven in supplication went. You remember three people in the Bible smitten with leprosy? Who were they? Gehazi, Uzziah, Miriam. Why was Gehazi smitten with leprosy? He told lies. Do Christians tell lies? Yes. You remember the things that God hates? Sex, abomination. Seven things God hates. What's two of them? A tongue that uttereth lies. A false witness that uttereth lies. They are harmful. They're hurtful. They're hateful. Gehazi told lies. Was it Scroggy that said it? Very, very good. The liar became the leper. The leprosy of Naaman shall cleave to thee and thy seed forever. You remember Ananias and Sapphira? They told lies. Was it the late John Douglas that once said this? If God acted now as he acted then, there wouldn't be enough left to carry out the dead. Smitten with leprosy because of lying. Why was Uzziah smitten with leprosy? He moved in a sphere that God never called him nor fitted him for. Uzziah was a king, and he wanted to do the work of a priest, and he was told simply and plainly, "It pertaineth not to thee, Uzziah, to burn incense upon the altar of incense." And Uzziah was smitten with leprosy because he moved out of his sphere. Why was Miriam smitten with leprosy? She spoke evil of a man of God as seen in Moses. And because of evil speaking, she was smitten with leprosy. I can grieve the Spirit by my walk, but I can grieve the Spirit by my talk. Thirdly, very quickly, a wrong attitude towards one another. You remember again the Corinthian church? There was envy. There was strife. There was division. A wrong attitude towards one another. You remember the Galatian epistle? If ye bite and devour one another, you're going to be consumed one of another. And where there is biting and where there is fighting, remember it's a grief to the Spirit of God. What should mark us one towards another? We should forgive one another. We should pray for one another. We should love one another. You know, love towards another brings before me many things tonight. Let me give you 3-4 very quickly. You know, love towards one another, it's a proof that you're saved. Ever doubt your salvation? Ever go round the foundation just to make sure that you really have it? Ah, listen tonight to what the Bible says. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. And love towards one another, it's a proof that you're saved. You know, it's a proof that you love God. If you don't love your brother whom you do see, how can you love God whom you don't see? It's a proof that you and I love God. You know, it's a proof that you and I love Christ. You remember what the Lord taught? A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. If you love me, ye will keep my commandment. It's a proof that we love Christ. It's a testimony to the world. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another. So remember, grieve not the Spirit by your walk. Grieve not the Spirit by your talk. Grieve not the Holy Spirit by a wrong attitude one towards another. But then, fourthly, grieve not the Holy Spirit by giving place to the devil. You know, we are suffering today from many things. The verse in the Bible, I'll take it out of its context, says this: give this man place. Now, we are suffering today from a displaced Christ. Christ is being displaced in the heart. And Christ is being displaced in the home. And Christ is being displaced in the assembly. And we're suffering today from a displaced Christ. Let me say three things tonight very quickly about Christ. In the life of every Christian, Christ is present. For remember, the Bible says this: if ye have not the Spirit of Christ, ye are none of His. And in the life of every Christian, Christ is present. In the life of some, Christ is prominent. But remember, in the life of far too few, Christ is preeminent. You remember Diotrephes? You remember what that man did? He did three things. He displaced Christ. He kept out servants of God, and he cast out of the local church saints of God. You remember what it says about that man? He loveth to have the preeminence. And I come to Colossians chapter 1 and I read a verse like this: in all things, Christ must have the preeminence. And we're suffering today from a displaced Christ. but neither give place to the devil. You go through the Bible. You remember Eve? Listen to what you read about her. The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. The serpent in the life of Eve. You remember what you read about David? It says that Satan made David to number the people. Satan in the life of David. You remember Ananias and Sapphira? Why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Satan in the life of Ananias and Sapphira. I tell you tonight, the Bible says this: we are not ignorant of his devices. I often wonder if we are ignorant of the devices of Satan. He's out to deceive the sinner. He's out to defile the man of God. He's out to divert the servant of God. He's out to displace the person of Christ, and he's out to divide the whole, the spirit, the assembly of God. You read your Bible, you'll discover this. We can vex the spirit. We can lie to the Spirit. We can quench the Spirit. We can resist the Spirit. And we can grieve the Spirit of God. Don't grieve the Spirit by your walk. Walk in wisdom. Walk in the light. Walk in love. Walk circumspectly. Don't grieve the Spirit in your walk. Don't grieve the Spirit in your talk. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Speak the truth in love. Don't grieve the Spirit by a wrong attitude towards one another. Be courteous. Be compassionate. Be caring one towards the other. Don't grieve the Spirit by giving place to the devil, but remember, give this man place. As says Paul, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now shall we pray. Our Father, we thank thee tonight once again for the privilege of being gathered with thy people. Thou hast been the silent listener tonight to all that has been said. We pray, O God, that that which has been of thyself might be applied to our own lives individually. We desire, our God, that we might be more pleasing in thy sight and more profitable in thy service. Part us now with thy blessing. Take us home tonight in safety as we offer our praise and our thanksgiving in the Lord Jesus' worthy and precious name. Amen. Could we sing tonight in closing a few verses of 233? 233, we're just going to sing verses 1, 4 and 5 of 233. Praise the Saviour, ye who know him. Who can tell how much we owe him? Gladly let us render to him all we are and have. 1, 4 and 5, and we'll stand to sing.
Praise the Saviour, ye who know him.